You're listening to Catch the Current, the coolest seafood podcast out there. From the team at Undercurrent News, your trusted source for seafood prices, news, and data. I'm Amanda Buckle.
And I'm Lauren Castiglione.
Before we dive in, a quick shout out to our sponsor, Wisefish. With over 30 years in the seafood industry, they're powering aquaculture, fisheries, processors, and seafood sales with one integrated platform that makes managing complex operations simpler. Check them out at wisefish.com/catchthecurrent. So radioactive shrimp is still top of mind this week. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration's blocking of contaminated shrimp from Indonesia has made it on the radar of U.S. Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. Kennedy Jr., or Bobby, a polarizing celebrity policymaker in the administration of Donald Trump. And he made sure that the president was aware of the issue during Tuesday's cabinet meeting.
The seventh cabinet meeting of Trump's second term is being hailed as a marathon, lasting more than 3 hours.
And these meetings aren't the type of meetings where you can duck out for a quick bathroom break. There's no like squirting some eye drops in your eyes to stay awake, no snack breaks. You know, I think about like going to the Global Seafood Marketing Conference and like those candy bars that are out on the table.
And yes, when you start hearing everybody
cracking open. And this cabinet meeting is televised. It's recorded. I watched the whole thing on YouTube. Yeah, you can't get away with anything. And so this was over 3 hours long.
Yes, the marathon meeting of your nightmares.
And the topics covered were wide ranging, from saving whales from offshore wind to seeking the death penalty for murders committed in DC.
Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce's engagement was even brought up at one point.
Congrats, guys. Here's hoping there's a massive raw oyster bar at that wedding and we can spend a podcast episode talking about it. But seafood also had its moment at the cabinet meeting. Check out this clip of Kennedy addressing Trump and the rest of the cabinet about the CS-137 contaminated shrimp.
We are now, the South Asian nations are now dumping shrimp on our country. The shrimp is heavily contaminated. We just stopped a shipment that was contaminated with cesium-157, which is radioactive. They're farming these shrimps, and they use bactericides and antibiotics and all kinds of chemicals, and the shrimp are so contaminated that the European nations won't take them, so they're dumping them all here, and they're putting out of business. We have the most sustainable, highly regulated fishery in the world. What our fishermen do is a good thing. And all of the trawlers in the Gulf and Alaska are being shut down because we're getting shrimp dumped here. So we have now increased FDA inspections of shrimp to make sure that Americans are not buying and eating contaminated shrimp and putting our shrimpers out of business.
Kennedy was referring to the FDA's ban of the shrimp sold by Bahari Makmur Sajati, also known as BMS, and the related recall announcements, including those made by Walmart. Of course, the FDA is part of the Department of Health and Human Services, which is overseen by Kennedy.
There's a lot to unpack in Kennedy's comments as it combines quite a few issues facing the domestic shrimp fishery. It's important to note that while BMS has been redlisted due to CS-137 contamination, it has not been found to be involved in dumping. But there's no denying that FDA inspections of domestic shrimp imports have recently intensified, especially for Indonesia. And now you can find more details on the FDA's uptick in entry line refusals in the show notes.
Meanwhile, the lieutenant governor of the U.S. state of Louisiana is asking Trump to start applying a 10-cent per pound inspection fee to imported seafood in the wake of the import alert about CS-137 contaminated shrimp. The proposed fee would generate an estimated $600 million annually from the 6 billion pounds of seafood imported into the U.S., allowing for the hiring of tens of thousands of additional inspectors. And real quick, before we move on from shrimp, I'll be in the Netherlands at the Global Shrimp Forum next week. That Tuesday, September 2nd specifically. So if you're attending, I'd love to meet you. I'll be moderating the Global Shrimp Council update and outreach meeting, which is taking place that afternoon. I'll add a link to register in the show notes. It's a fantastic group of speakers, and I'm excited to help lead the conversation. And I'm not the only one from UCN going. We have a big team going to cover the event, but also going to be on stage is Gary Morrison, our head of growth and strategy at UCN. So he will be speaking during the market outlook panel, and that is being held during the closing plenary. So check out UCN while you're in the Netherlands.
In other Trump-related news, the leading trade groups representing U.S. seafood and restaurant industries are lobbying for exemptions for imported food they argue can't be sourced domestically. The National Fisheries Institute and the National Restaurant Association have both warned the Trump administration that tariffs on the leading suppliers of food ingredients that can only be sourced abroad will result in higher prices. NFI is seeking an exemption to tariffs on all seafood. The Trade Association's Chief Strategy Officer, Gavin Givens, told Undercurrent News this week that while so many products they say need an exemption, seafood is fundamentally different.
Gibbons said, "We can't just pull more fish out of the water. That's not how it works." And that's something I tell my children often. That's not how it works. That's not how any of this
that's
works.
That's not how any of this works. Exactly.
But Gibbons explained that the U.S. will never be able to be self-sufficient when it comes to producing the most popular species of seafood consumed in the U.S., such as shrimp, more than 90% of which is imported, he said.
Undercurrent took a look at the nation's seafood trade deficit, and in 2024, it stood at almost $20.8 billion. So U.S. seafood imports totaled nearly $25.8 billion, and its exports totaled almost $5 billion, based on data provided by NOAA. Really great deep dive from Undercurrent's editorial director, Cliff White, on the site. Find the link in the show notes.
Aquaculture is evolving fast, and managing fish farming alongside processing, sales, and logistics means handling complex data daily. Wise Fish offers an integrated platform built specifically for aquaculture and seafood businesses. It collects data from farms, linking biological and financial insights so you can track costs and yields clearly. The system captures, for example, feed and medication usage, biomass increase, mortality, labor and equipment costs to give a full picture of profitability. It also supports planning across harvests, sales, and deliveries, helping you make smarter decisions with accurate, up-to-date info. By replacing spreadsheets and siloed systems, WiseFish reduces manual work and errors, freeing time to focus on growth. Whether scaling or optimizing workflows, WiseFish helps improve efficiency and control costs without disrupting your existing systems. Learn more at wisefish.com/catchthecurrent. Another thing to check out on the UCN website this week, the Shanghai 2025 live blog. Undercurrent News is reporting from the 19th Shanghai International Fisheries and Seafood Exhibition, a three-day event which kicked off August 27th. This year, the show covers 120,000 square meters, bringing together more than 3,000 brands from over 30 countries and regions, and showcasing thousands of aquatic and marine products. We asked Undercurrent's Masahiko Takauchi and Lewis Yu to share just a few highlights from the event, but they were attending something called a river cruise reception. And we all agreed that the river cruise reception sounded like a lot more fun than recording with Lauren and I. So we're going to share what we feel are the two top highlights from the Shanghai show. Lauren, take it away.
All right, with number one, Ecuador shrimp is gaining a strong advantage in the U.S. market, at least according to CEO of Amarsa, one of Ecuador's largest shrimp suppliers. He told Undercurrent on the show floor that sales to the U.S. have been strong for the past few months, with prices higher than in China. He said that Ecuador's advantage is further highlighted by the tariff challenges faced by competitors. Starting August 27th, tariffs on Indian shrimp exports to the U.S. rose to 50%. And of course, Indonesia's BMS recently received the FDA import alert over concerns of radioactive contamination, putting additional pressure on Indonesian supply. Looking ahead, he predicts that Ecuadorian shrimp production will rise steadily in October and November, while raw material supply in September is expected to remain relatively tight.
And number two, China's salmon boom risks turning into a red ocean. So Masa reported from the 8th Global Salmon Industry Development Summit that China's fast expanding could soon become a red ocean of cutthroat competition despite strong growth. That's according to the president of Michu Foods, a Qingdao-based seafood importer and processor. He said imports of chilled salmon jumped sharply in 2025, as prices drop to their lowest level in years. Consumer-facing sales channels have emerged as the main driver expansion, with their share of chilled salmon sales rising from 15% in 2022 to 35% in 2024. Further consumption styles are diversifying beyond sashimi to Chinese and Western-influenced dishes, such as salmon and marinade and sweet and sour salmon. However, he cautioned that the optimism masks severe risks. He warned companies not to blindly expand.
All right, let's phone another undercurrent friend here who will definitely not be on a river cruise. Barb Dean Simmons, who this week reported on Canada's live lobster exports for the first half of the year.
So it's been a challenging first half of 2025 for lobster exporters here. A couple of reasons. One is, I mean, earlier this year we reported, I think back in June, that the landings were down a little bit, 10 to 15% by anecdotal reports. We won't know the full picture on that until lobster harvesters hand over their logbooks to Fisheries and Oceans Canada later this year to do the tally. But landings are down through Nova Scotia, Newfoundland and Labrador, PEI, and New Brunswick. I think there were some bright spots in Quebec, but overall landings were down. So that's impacted the supply of lobster, of course, and the amount of lobster that's there to be exported. But the bigger challenge for Canada this year is that T word, the tariff, and the retaliatory tariffs in particular that China has implemented. Back in March, we reported, as you remember, that China has slapped a 25% retaliatory tariff on Canadian exports, name including seafood like lobster, and that with the usual taxes and fees that were already in place, that was the equivalent of a 41% hike in the fees to get lobster into the Chinese market. So that's had a huge impact. I looked at some numbers from Undercurrent's trade data portal, and it was pretty jaw-dropping, actually. 32% drop in volume and a 33% decline in value from the first half of 2024 to the first half of 2025. And from what I see in going through our data charts, the biggest drop came in the second quarter of 2025, because of course the retaliatory tariffs went into place in March, and so anything that was going out the door from Canada to China in May and June, that was getting hit with the higher tariffs. So in whole numbers, what that means is that in the first half of 2025, China imported 9,253 tons of live lobster that was worth about $236 million, and that compares to the previous year, the first half of 2024, when China imported 13,796 tons worth $348 million. So you can see by those numbers that it's been a big decline from one year to the next. And what that means is that there are still some lobsters in Canada in stockpile. And one of my sources tells me figures there's about 10 million pounds from those summer fisheries that ended a few weeks ago, that's still waiting in those holding pounds and waiting for customers.
Thanks, Barb. The full story can be found in the show notes.
Finally, we've got another Undercurrent reporter, Jacob Resnick, and price analyst Ben Fisher on the pod with us this week to share Alaska's lackluster pink salmon harvest.
We had a really optimistic forecast from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. They were saying like nearly 140 million pinks this year. Unfortunately, a lot of the fish just haven't shown up yet. And biologists we talked to said they probably aren't going to, at least in the numbers originally projected. Most recent figures we've got show that the pink harvest is about 25, 30% below forecast. We're around 100 million statewide forecast. And the big drop really came from Southeast, which is where a lot of that optimism was coming. There's different, theories of why that might be, but the good news is they are getting a lot of escapement. So in 2 years, they're hoping to have a pretty healthy run to harvest, in the next odd year.
Now, are their predictions usually on point, or was this kind of a surprise to everybody?
It's a wild fishery, so they can't, be 100% accurate, but they're generally pretty good at what they do. But there are years like this where, they don't show up in the numbers that they thought. There were some high water events after 2023, and what they call over escapement, where they think some of the young fish might have gotten too crowded out and didn't have enough oxygen, might have killed some of the eggs in the gravel. that might have been some of the reason why, even though they had such a good run in 2023, it didn't repeat in the kind of numbers they expected here in 2025.
Now, Ben, what does this mean on the market side of things?
Yeah, it means that prices are going up. I think as the market realizes that the pink harvest will be millions of fish short, it's driving the prices up. So our undercurrent wild salmon price assessment showed a 5 cent increase in headed and gutted frozen pink salmon this week. That comes also as I think the market is realizing that much of the Russian harvest is going to stay domestic, so that will not leave Russia, and buyers are scrambling for pink salmon, and sellers are going to be able to cash in a little bit more given the lack of supply because of the lackluster harvest. And they fish into September, so things could improve a bit, but all signs point to it being a much smaller harvest than anticipated.
For access to our US wholesale seafood pricing platform, where you can find this proprietary data, we'll have a link back in our show notes. So thanks, Jacob. Thanks, Ben, for giving us this update. Well, that does it for us this week. From Row to Plate, Wise Fish supports seafood businesses across aquaculture, fisheries, processing, and sales with one integrated platform. Trusted by companies around the world like Tassel, Niels Spaer, and others, Wise Fish helps control costs, improve margins, and enable smarter financial decisions, replacing spreadsheets and siloed systems. Learn more at wisefish.com/catchthecurrent.